Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Wow, how good is God?
Yeah.
Woo. So Lord, we just thank you as we open your word today that you would speak to us individually. That God, you have something that you want to deposit in our hearts. And that God, as we look to you, that you would let the whispers of heaven be the loudest that we hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to the word today. I want to actually talk to you about this. See, I believe, firstly, number one, that God is building his house. He's not just building a house, but he's building a home. And it was mentioned just before that these guys have built a home. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 to 22 says this. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." Mm-hmm. Now Jay and Danielle have just moved into their brand new house. But if you had asked them on Friday as they were moving in, was it a house or was it a home? At the point of moving in, it was very much a house. Yeah. Right now, they're in the stage of transition of turning that into a home.
Yeah.
What makes a home versus a house? Well, a house doesn't have any photo frames on it, doesn't have any, you know, family pictures in it. It has those things as it becomes a home. And what God is building is the household of God in this region. And he's building his house through you and I. He's building his house and he's building it on the foundation of Jesus. He says this, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." A couple of key things here I just want to point out to you is that, number one, Jesus is the cornerstone. We simply come and build on the lay on the foundation that he has built. And now we're at that stage of the house where it's like a few bricks up. Jesus is the cornerstone. Apostles and prophets have built in around that. And Pastor Kevin and Daryl have built in around that and started to build a home. And so I want to encourage you today that the home that Jesus is building is not an organization.
That's right.
It's not an organization. It's a home.
That's good.
It's not a hotel. It's a home. Now, I'm staying in a hotel right now. You know the beauty of a hotel is? I walk in and I walk out. The beauty of a hotel is I have a shower, I put the towel on the ground. And there's a little sign that says, if you want to reuse this, put it here, but if you don't, leave it on the floor. Leave it on the floor. There's a difference between a hotel and a home. A hotel, you walk in, you check out. A home, you live in and you contribute.
That's great.
And this is what he's called us to be a part of.
And
the beauty of this is that we know that the promises of God is to build his house, his home, where we can dwell together with one another, contribute and make it our dwelling place. Make his house in us a dwelling place where the Spirit of God could dwell. And he does that in us individually, but he does that in us corporately, together. And so we have this incredible privilege to be a part of what God is building into the future. But you know what the problem is? It's the tension of the in-between. Just talk to Jay and Danielle about the journey of the last 2 years, of the tension in between the dream and the reality of that thing. It's been a massive journey to have a dream, have a blueprint, have a plan, have a focus, got an idea about where this is, what's happening, and to actually get dirt turned, to get concrete laid, to get bricks built, like to actually build and turn it into a home. It's a journey, and often what can get in the way is the little bit in between. Mm-hmm. It's the tension of the in between.
Yeah.
And today that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the tension of the in between, because right now, Pastors Kevin and Darielle, this is their kind of like, not their official Sunday gone, but it is the official moment in which we are honoring them today. And there's this transition that was meant to take place, and just like Jay and Danielle, there was meant to be a soil turned at some point, and it got delayed, delayed, delayed. And so there's a bit of a delay right now that's happened, unfortunate circumstances that Pastors Glenn and Lynn are not able to be here next week. And some of us can feel really unsettled by that, because it's this tension between what's really going to happen. And even in Pastor Kevin and Darielle's heart, there's this thing of like, well, we still feel a sense of responsibility. But the beauty of this is that when one person in the family is sick, doesn't mean the whole house shuts down. Someone else just picks up some responsibilities and carries some things for a little while. Someone else has to get dinner because mum's in bed. Someone else has to get... You hear what I'm saying? But how do we deal with this tension in the in-between? Because I can only imagine that that space of tension is precisely what we've been feeling even in Melbourne. For some of you that you may not be aware, we're part of a bigger church. And so like in Melbourne, at our city location, we're in transition with senior pastors. And there is that we're here, but we're going here. And what happens in between? And the in-between can get really uncomfortable. Just talk to Jesus and his disciples. So do you remember Jesus is like preparing the disciples, you know, take the gospel to the ends of the earth. All these things are ahead of them. And they're expecting him to set up his kingdom. They're excited. And then all of a sudden, their Messiah, their Savior, is now dead and buried. And there's this tension between the death and burial of Jesus and the resurrection. That tension. How we live in that tension actually matters. And you know, normally there's three different responses that happen inside of each of us when it comes to this tension. Those three responses are flight, fight, and freeze. And you're like, that sounds like a psychology thing. Yeah, it is, but it's biblical. Let me show you. Let's open up the Bible together and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we find the story here of the in-between. And it's pretty significant that we recognize that what we're living in right now in this tension is a reality that many have faced. But we can actually come through the other side like the disciples did with great victory, greater in strength, greater in number, and a greater impact on cities, nations, and regions because we manage the tension. But we have to then ask ourselves, what's happening to me? What's happening in me as a part of this? Now, I said to you, there's three different responses here in this story. So let's read from John 20, verses 19 through. And it says this. When the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came, he stood in the midst of them, and he said, peace be with you. There's obviously some really clear fear if Jesus has to come in and say, hey, peace. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, I'm also going to send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any of their sins, they'll be forgiven. If you retain their sins, and they'll be retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, who was not with them when Jesus came. With the other disciples, therefore, he said to them, we've seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see his hands and the prints in his hands and nails and put my finger into them, I and my hand into his side, I won't believe. And after 8 days, his disciples again inside said, Thomas with them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and they stood in the midst of him and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your fingers in here and look at my hands and reach your hands in here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. But Jesus said to him, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed.
Yeah.
And Jesus did many truly many miracles in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. Now let's just jump down to 21 and read verses 1 through to 6. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas, they called the twin, and Nathanael, the Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And he said to them, they said to him, we're going with you. When they went out immediately, they got in the boat that they might, and they toiled all night, and they caught nothing. But when the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, children, have you caught any food? And they answered him and said, no. And he said to them, cast your nets on the other side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. In this passage, we see three different responses. We see a fight response, we see a flight response, and we see a freeze response. See, the reality is the disciples were hiding in fear because the Jews. And so they locked themselves into a confined space, and it was a typical response from an anxiety of what might come, like fear of what might be and come. And so you find the disciples freezing in time, hiding in this upper room. And then you have the flight response where the disciples leave. Thomas wasn't in the first round of the upper room. Did you notice that? Halfway through, Thomas, it says he wasn't there. Because why? Because he had run. He had fled. And Thomas wasn't with them. And then, do you remember in Luke chapter 24 where it talks about there were some disciples that went on the road to Emmaus? Mm-hmm. And Jesus met them on the road?
Yeah.
See, this is a beautiful thing. When we read through the scriptures, we actually see that Jesus walked into the room they were hiding. He walked to them on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they're out fishing, he walks up and gets on out there and says, hey, boys, have you caught anything? And he meets them at the sea.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't matter what happens or what flight response we have, Jesus actually says, I'll meet you right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So whatever response you're having right now to the transition and things that are happening, you need to know that, number one, it's okay, it's normal, Jesus is with you in the midst of it,
yeah.
And he'll actually meet you right where you are,
yeah.
And bring you to the other side,
because
that's his intent.
Yeah.
And when Jesus met Thomas in that upper room, he didn't leave Thomas's questions, doubts, concerns, and thoughts unattended to.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually spoke to every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thoughts and concerns that you have around the future, around what might be, what might look like,
yeah.
You need to know that Jesus has those things in mind.
Yeah.
And he will meet you where you're at. Even if it is in doubt and in fear,
mm-hmm.
He will call you up and he will call you home.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to know, church, God is for you and he is going to carry you through to the next chapter.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many days are in between. For the disciples, it was 3. You got to understand that with God, he is in control.
Yeah.
He is sovereign and he knows.
Yeah.
We're believing that Pastor Glenn and Lynn will be here at the end of the month. That is the plan. That is the intention. But if it goes a day longer because mum, dad can't get out of bed, what do we need to do? We're going to pick up, we're going to carry on and be the family that God has called us to be.
Yeah, good.
Yep. The last response that we see here is this fight response. The fight response that happens here within Peter. Peter's flight response is, oh, I'm going back to work. He's fighting for some sort of norm in his life. And he's like, if I just walk away from everything that I've been told, thought about, Jesus said, da, 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 and I go back to what I know, I will just fish. And in my fishing, I'm fighting for normal. Some of us are going to want to hold to things and fight for some form of norm in this season. But you need to know that sometimes God's going to call you out and actually say something that reminds you of something he said in the past and actually call you higher and back to that which he has called us to.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. He's so personal.
Yeah.
He cares about us individually and he cares about us as a family. And transition is this challenge between one place and one other state of being, and that changing from one thing to another. And seasons of transition can be confusing, they can actually be overwhelming, and they can actually be plain and scary, and to be honest, just simply exhausting.
Yeah.
You just talked to Pastors Kevin and Daryl, they thought the finish line was here. And they're like, okay. And it can be just exhausting. Because you feel like you're just about to finish, and okay, we just need to hold on for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you as fatigue sets in, as you get tired, as you get a bit frustrated, just actually settle into the fact that God's in the midst of where you are and is meeting you.
Yeah.
But the question to ask ourselves is, in this season, is what's happening in me?
Yeah.
What am I feeling?
That's right.
What am I doing or what am I not doing? Am I just, you know, wait and see what happens? I'm just going to pull back. Or am I going to lean in? Am I running from the situation? Am I fighting for some sort of normal? What am I actually doing? Because our seasons and of transition can actually lead to greater function or dysfunction.
Yeah.
See, the dysfunction is where Jesus actually met the disciples. Because there's either an opportunity for great function together, or there's an opportunity for dysfunction that the enemy would like to get all up in and disband people.
Yeah.
And we have to lean into those things and be like, okay, I'm recognizing these indicators of dysfunction.
Yeah.
So what are some of these indicators of dysfunction? Well, sometimes an indicator of dysfunction within a freeze state can actually be, well, a lack of communication.
Mm.
Well, they're gone, so I don't really know who to talk to, so I'm not really going to talk to anyone, I'm just going to stay silent. That's not going to be helpful. It could look like abdicating responsibilities. Oh, well, Kevin's not the boss and Glenn's not here, so well, I'll just, oh, I don't know who's on catering, I don't know who's going to do what, well, I don't know if the bathrooms are clean, I don't really, and you become this abdication of responsibility. Or sometimes it can be, you know what, inactivity. I'm just not going to engage, I'm going to come off the roster for a month, I'm just going to wait and see what happens and see if this lands. Sometimes it might actually be just denying the reality of what's actually going on.
Mm.
And that's not actually helpful either, to just pretend that everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to actually know what's going on and be okay.
Yeah.
And talk those things through. What does it look like in the dysfunction of fight? Well, that can look like reactivity.
Mm.
Everything you don't have control over will reveal itself. And it becomes, in our conversations, we become reactive. And so we have to lean into some of these. Some of those things will look like, you know, rationalizing. Why I did, why I didn't. Some of those things will look like overactivity. Some will feel an oversense of responsibility. And try and fight, and micromanage everything, and be in control of everything. Some of us might actually overcompensate. Now, in a flight situation, it looks like withdrawing. I'm not going to go to life group this week. I don't even know if his life group's going to be here in 2 months. Like, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to go to church. Why would I do that if I don't know if his church is going to be? Like, what's going to happen? Are we picking up some of the feels? Because these are real things. But we need to lean in.
Yeah.
We need to lean in together because the disciples found Jesus in the midst of their dysfunction and had an encounter. When Jesus walks into the room, fear dissipates.
Come on.
Hope walks into the room in the face of fear.
Yeah.
When Jesus speaks to Thomas's doubt, that flight thing is confronted and Thomas stays in the room together. And when Jesus showed up when they were fighting for their norm and going back to fishing, Jesus just didn't stay in the upper room and wait for them to come back. He actually went and met them out there. And called them out of the fight and said, here, let me show you how it's really done. You've been fighting all night for a norm. Let me give you another supernatural catch. And all of a sudden, there's a reminder in them. We've been here before.
Yeah.
We've been here before. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus doesn't condemn. He doesn't judge.
Yeah.
He brings them in love. And as a result, individuals' hearts are aligned and there's a greater sense of unity. They gather in Acts chapter 1 in the upper room together and they build into this sense of community. They have communication with one another and there's intimacy and there's conversation happening.
Yeah.
The place of encounter is established that time and worship is where they're found. Fear is dispelled and faith is fueled and objectives are clear and mission is pursued. So what does the function, what does greater function, healthy function look like in the life of your church? Well, it looks like this. Keep your heart light.
Yeah.
Keep your heart light in unity.
Yeah.
Don't become hard, bitter, but become tender and better.
Yeah.
Come on.
Matthew says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize that sometimes our mouths are going to reveal what's going on in our hearts.
Yeah.
And we actually have to be okay to actually pull one another up. Not pull one another down, how dare you.
Yeah.
Pull one another up. Hey, I saw that. What's happening there?
Mm.
What's going on in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talk those things through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull one another up into the things that God has, because that is how we will keep a great heart and keep it right and keep unity together.
Yeah.
If you see character, if you see fruits of the Spirit, encourage it.
Yeah.
Call people up.
Yeah.
I see that love that you're giving when you have every reason not to. I see that extra encouragement when you have every reason to have a go at somebody. Encourage people. Call them up.
Yeah.
The second thing you can do is keep community.
Yeah.
We're not created for isolation, so don't run away. Improve your relationship with one another by holding one another accountable. If you look around the room and you see George is missing, then call George. Have a conversation. What's happening there? Hebrews 10:24 says, and 25, do not neglect the gathering together of the saints.
Yeah.
Make it a priority that in this season, you are going to lean in more than you have in the past. Some of you are like, I'm here every week. That's awesome. Get here a little early. Stay a little later. Create community. And then who are you inviting into that community?
Yeah.
The third thing you can do is keep communicating. Intimacy requires communication.
That's right.
Intimacy actually requires encouragement.
Yeah.
In Luke chapter 24, when Jesus walked with the disciples, they were walking off to Emmaus. Jesus comes alongside of them, listening to their conversation. They are talking to him, not recognizing who he is, but he literally in that moment walks with them and allows their conversation to become such a point of encouragement that they walk away going, did not our hearts burn within us? Do your conversations leave people's hearts yearning and burning for more of God? Or do they leave people going, oh, I don't want to drink from that again? Lean in and keep communication flowing. It's so important. Don't assume things. Don't avoid things. Lean in and have the hard conversations together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11 says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that Paul recognized that they were encouraging, but he said to them, encourage. As you're doing, but encourage. Because there can never be enough. Can never be enough encouragement in our conversations.
Yeah, really.
The fourth thing is this, keep encounter, keep worship at the forefront. These moments where worship is being facilitated, I encourage you, don't feel the need to stay in your seats, get out, move around, walk, kneel, whatever it looks like for you to lean in and to press into God, because these moments of worship together is when he is present like he was with the disciples in the upper room. When he turned up, everything changed.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you that you worshiping is helping creating a space for others to step into worship. I had a young guy come with me. I've been witnessing to him for 10 years. I've been working with him in the journey for 10 years. And he's 17 years of age. He's a beautiful young guy. He came to church for the first time just over 2 months ago.
Mm.
Came to church with me for the first time in 10 years. And he walked into that space. And you know what the thing he said? Like worship services, you'll have like a set list that's locked in. We have like a team that if it's feeling like the Holy Ghost is moving in some direction, you could be there from 40 minutes to an hour. Like, so you just never know. And this particular day he came, it was like an hour and 15 minutes of worship. And I'm like, oh Lord, is this going to be too much for him? You know, the very first thing he said to me at the end of it, he was like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
He's like, they all meant what they were singing.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't cold. It was filled with affection.
Yeah.
And he was recognizing the difference between cold religion and actual intimacy.
Come on, that's right.
Because of our worship. Did you know that your worship can make a difference for somebody else in the room?
Yes.
Someone else who doesn't feel like lifting their hands that day because it's really hard, and maybe they had the job of running the flags out and it's pouring with rain and they got wet and now their hair's like, ugh, and they're just like, ugh. And they don't have the inward to lift their hands. You worshiping could encourage someone else just to lift their hands.
Yeah.
You worshiping could impact an unbeliever as they walk into the room.
Yeah.
Because of worship that Sunday night, the next Monday, that Monday, I drove him back to his home. It was like 2.5 hours away. We had a chat, driving the whole way there. I got the opportunity to lead him to the Lord.
Come on. Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes. Come on.
We've got to be reminded of what our worship does for one another, but we're giving our worship unto God. But what that means is we minister unto Him, how God then ministers to somebody else.
Yes, it's really good.
It's beautiful. The fifth thing is keep the faith. Keep your faith and expectation. Somebody had faith to go and have a conversation with Thomas and say, hey, Thomas, Jesus turned up. Now, Thomas didn't believe. But the person who was in the room, one of the disciples, went and had that conversation, so much so that it caused Thomas to enter back into the room and for hope and expectation to return to his heart. Keeping the faith and keeping the expectation could actually create a space for someone else to come to know Jesus through your faith. Have conversations of faith, not of doom and gloom. Oh, well, did you hear that, you know, they won't be here until 27th of October? Oh, I don't know if the church is going to survive. No. Hey, did you hear that they're not here until the 27th of October? Okay, so what does that mean that we can do together?
Yeah.
What role can we play? What part can I do? How can I contribute? Maybe I could come here and set up the chairs and take that pressure. Maybe I could come and find a place to build one another up with conversations of faith and expectation.
Really good. Yeah.
I promise you it'll make a game-changing difference for you as a community of faith.
Yeah.
Impart faith, share testimonies, share stories.
Yeah.
And declarations about what you're believing for and the promises of God that are still yes and amen out of this church.
Yeah.
Keep on mission is the last thing.
Yeah.
When the disciples came out of that encounter, they came out knowing they still had a mission in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Great Commission, and Jesus made it really clear, this is what we're about.
Yeah.
Go make disciples, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The beautiful thing is this. Work as if you're working unto the Lord and not unto a man.
Yeah.
Pastors Kevin and Dariel have not built this church on their personalities. They built this church on the rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so you haven't worked or served a man or a woman. You have honored them, but you have not served them. You're serving Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Colossians 3:23 says, do work as if you are working unto the Lord, not as unto men, and you will receive your reward and your inheritance. Let me tell you this. When Pastor Glenn comes in, he's probably going to be a little bit different to Pastor Kevin and Daria. But remember, you're not serving a man.
Yeah.
You're serving God.
That's right.
And in 1 Corinthians 12 says that He arranges and combines the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You are not here by pure chance alone. You are here because He knitted you in.
That's right.
He knitted you in. Which means it's time to go again.
Yeah.
It's time to lean in to the tension. It's time to get past the dysfunctions and lean into greater functions together. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Would you stand on your feet with me? Transitions offer us a choice between dysfunction and greater health function. And by aligning our hearts, by staying connected in community and keeping communication and focusing on faith and mission, we can navigate these transitions together. Church, the best days are ahead of you. Why?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is building his church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus started this thing. He will continue this thing.
Yeah.
And you will move into seasons ahead of you that some of you have dreamed and imagined. And for some, who would have liked to have been here, there, right now. But remember this. Oak trees are not built overnight.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're built over time.
Yeah.
They take plenty of watering, fertilizing, caring. And that happens when we walk this journey together and navigate the tensions of the in-between. Cool? Can I pray for you guys? So God, I just thank you for this incredible house, this incredible home of people who make up this body of Christ. So I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you arrange and combine the body of Christ. So everyone here is on purpose and for purpose for the future. I thank you, Lord, that you also said that you would build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Lord, we thank you for the seasons of seed time and harvest. We thank you, God, for the seasons, Lord, where it requires us to water and to nurture and to care. And Lord, in that moment where it's being repotted into another pot, I thank you, God, that you are the farmer, you are the potter, and you are literally transitioning it from one pot into another. And while there might be an unsettling and almost like a discomfort, that God, you are making way for deeper roots and greater growth to come. So I thank you, God, for the seeds that have been sown, and I thank you for the future that is ahead of this church. I thank you for everyone who calls this place home, and that, Lord, as they look to you, as they serve you, God, that you will walk them into greater functions in this season of transition. And I thank you, Lord, that the best days are still yet ahead.
Yes, God.
And God, for the places in our hearts that are still wrestling with some of those fear responses. The fight, and the freeze. God, would you help us to navigate those things, not in isolation, but together with one another. And Lord, help us to call each other up to all that you have ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.